Thank you, Jesus, for listening to our prayers and for all the love that you pour into our hearts. So I wonder what thoughts cross your mind when you think of the word pure. It could vary from food to music to gold to silver to relationships to love to marriage. What does this word pure mean? And we got to look into the context of what we're talking about. But we can talk about the purity of any specific thing. And people might say, well, that's not pure country music, or that's not pure rock and roll, or that's not pure whatever, because they have this thing. So what it made me dive into is to look at the definition of the word pure. And the definition of the word pure is not mixed or adulterated with any other substance or material, or free from any contamination. Very interesting. We're going to look into that later. Then, I can't help but think, what do you think of when you think of the word diluted? Me, one of the first things I think of is coffee. I hate weak coffee. Like, if someone gives me weak coffee and I'm comfortable with them, I'll be like, I said, I'll ask for coffee, not tea, right? Like, come on. This is junk. Put some coffee grinds in that stuff. Make it black. You should be able to stir it, and the spoon should stand. That's some good coffee. Put hair on your chest. Just all that stuff, right? That's why men, like, you know, it's biblical that men brew coffee. He brews. I'll let you laugh for a while. No, just kidding. Anyways, so I think of this word coffee, and as when I think of the word diluted. And purity is a precious, Jake's laughing in the back, this is just fun. Purity is a precious thing in all of its forms. And you can see when someone is in their element or how much they enjoy being in the purity of what it is that they enjoy. So let me, I'm still thinking of my coffee joke. It's like kids and candy when you think of purity, right? You ever, when we would have Sunday school picnics and then the person would come up with the candy bag, the kids' eyes would be like this, right? Oh, yeah, we're gonna go for candy, right? And all those things. But you ever, maybe you'll know what I mean. All of you, maybe you don't or don't know, but you bumped into him. He's a bald guy. He's got a nice beard. Jason Weeb is his name. He stands ushering us in when we would have church. If you wanna watch the purity of something come upon a man's face, talk to him about disc golf. It'll be like, there's like a transformation. Whoa. Hi, Jason. And all of these things, right? Another instant, Mr. Berg, Peter Berg, go talk to him about Brockenmacht, right? This dude, like, if you don't like Brockenmacht, you talk to Peter Berg, you're gonna like it after you talk to Peter Berg. Like this dude, and it is just, oh yeah, right? I want another one. Isaac Redekop, he often stands back there with the ushers too. Talk to him about fishing up north in the lakes of Ontario. And you just see this, yeah, right? And there's this purity of catching fish out of cold water and how good they taste and having a shore lunch. And it's just, it's amazing. You get transformed. And something for me is if you get talking about theology and you bring up the word water pots and the miracle of the water and the wine, if you've got an hour, I will just dive in. And it is just amazing. And I'm not going to talk about water pots right now, but my focus is pure as this undiluted thing. It's this unadulterated thing. It is just this thing in all of its purest form. And this is what I want to talk about, the gospel message and the forgiveness of sins and what Christ has done to come and live inside of us. Thinking or maintaining a purity about the power of the cross, not diluting it. Practically applying what the purity of the gospel means in our lives. There was a season in my life I lived a very strict religious lifestyle. I lived a very pharisaical life. And what I did was I created my own laws that I could live by and maintain, and I was very happy to maintain them. And what happened is, and I never implied those laws on other people's lives, but I maintained them. I maintained a status quo of living a certain lifestyle. And I was actually very proud of it. And what had happened was I realized that I took the cross of Jesus Christ and I said, it was Jesus plus my efforts in maintaining these self-made laws that made me a good Christian. And without even saying it, or even implying it, I made myself out to be a better Christian than the person that didn't maintain my laws, even though I didn't impress my laws on those people. And there was this, you be in the presence of Mike Wall and be in the presence of this guy who maintains a purer gospel than the rest. But in reality, the purity of the gospel is the fact that their sins are forgiven just like mine. But my efforts in keeping the gospel pure was a greater sin than what these other people were committing. Because I was adding to the cross. I was stating in my own life that these things needed to take place in order for me to be a better Christian. And in fact, in me believing that I made the cross better, I diluted what Christ had done. I said, Jesus, that was good what you did, and I love you for it, but watch what I am going to go do. You see what is happening in this practical side of keeping the gospel pure. And listening and heeding to Paul's voice of expression and concern about how we dilute the very promise of Jesus Christ in the cross. So I shared a brief moment with you about legalism, but what about liberalism? This one is just as dangerous. Both of them are pulling away or pulling, we can look at it from different sides, legalism or liberalism, but we're both diluting what has happened. And we are abusing the power of the cross to indulge into the lusts of our flesh. And we're saying, we are forgiven. We have all of these blessings poured out upon us. And I can just go do that. Because everything is forgiven. All of my sins are forgiven. This is where I believe that Christians wear this great big label of hypocrites. You go to church Sunday morning, you dress up all nice and fancy, and you change even your vocabulary when you come through those doors, and you are a good church member. But then you go to work, and you talk just like all the other factory or whatever, wherever you work people, and then they kind of look at you. They're not believers, and they go, well, Jim, didn't you go to church on Sunday, so why are you just like me? You're nothing but a hypocrite. And we let this dilution, or our diluted version of, we can be good Sunday morning, but you know what? We can just live however we want to live the rest of the week. We're not letting Christ live in and through us, like Paul was talking about to Peter. And in all of these aspects of what is happening, whether it's legalism or liberalism, we're diluting the gospel. And we're not living in the perfect harmony or the perfect understanding of Christ crucified. And it reminded me of these verses in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 verses 1 through 6. And this is a very unique portion of scripture because people will often think that Paul is talking about marriage and divorce. He's not talking about marriage and divorce. And look with me what he is talking about. And this is just before Paul dives into the two conflicts of the very thing I do not want to do, I find I do, and the very thing I want to do, I cannot do. Oh, wretched man that I am. This is just before that. So in the context or in the mindset, listen to what Paul is saying in Romans 7, 1 through 6. Again, I'm reading out of the New American Standard Version. It says this. Or do you not know, brethren? For I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. For the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then, if while her husband is living she is joined to another, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is freed from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she be joined to another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For While we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. That's amazing. You see that? I gotta read that again. Because he says, for while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by what? The law. Were at work in our members of our body to bear fruit for what? Bear fruit for death. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that which we were bound, so that we serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So the letter was the written law. And remember what my definition of the word purity was, is unadulterated. We all know what, maybe not all of us, but most of us know what the word adultery means. And heaven forbid anybody commits adultery on their spouse or on. And when we look at this, what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 7, he's specifically drawing a very, very clear law. He's not talking about marriage and divorce. He's using marriage and divorce as an example of something that is, I'll say, written in stone, that people know for sure. If there's a husband or wife and they're married, and this woman goes and sleeps with another man, she's an adulteress. But if the husband dies, she's not free to sleep around. She's free to marry another man. And what's happening is our co-death, co-burial, co-resurrection. Paul says that we died to the law. We are now free from the law. And now we get to live married to who? Jesus. And now when we are married to Jesus, look what Paul says. When we're married to Jesus, he says, if what we are doing is we are committing adultery on Christ crucified when we dilute the gospel by adding to it. You think, well, I don't add to the gospel. I'm free from that burden. I don't do those things. Whoa, ho, ho, ho. Hold the phone. What happens when we begin to talk about traditions of the church? You see, we hold such value to these traditions of the church that we make statements like, if this comes into the church, I'm leaving. And we get so worked up about these things. Don't you see? We are taking Christ crucified and we're adding to it. And we're saying, Jesus, you're not good enough because we have to maintain these traditions of the church, because these traditions of the church are just as important as you dying on the cross. And I'm going to leave this church if this happens. If this comes in or if this goes. And we make a stand and we put our foot down and we say, this is important. It's Jesus plus Pulteach. It's Jesus plus full immersion. It's Jesus plus sprinkling. It's Jesus plus common cup. It's Jesus plus head coverings. It's Jesus plus all of this stuff. And we are diluting the gospel. We are taking the gospel message and we're just saying, Jesus, you're not enough. We're going to go to something else in order to make your message more pure. Paul says, you foolish Galatians. Let me ask you this one question. Did you have to have those things before you received Christ crucified? What makes you think? What makes you think that you can add it now and make Jesus better? Maybe you feel like I'm coming a little close to home, or I'm being a little bold, and this isn't fair to preach like this. I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 through 13. And you think I'm personal. Let's look and see what Paul is saying to the church in Galatians in chapter 5. And he says this. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you Jesus. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you and in the Lord that you will adopt no other view. But the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment. Whoever he is, but I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Not only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through the love serve one another. It's not something that is taken lightly when we are diluting the gospel. Paul takes it very, very seriously. And I believe we as a church should take it very, very seriously as well. So when we start adding and we start saying, if this happens, I'm out of here, we've added to Jesus Christ crucified. What part of the gospel message do we get to say, hey, Jesus, this isn't good enough? You need to come back to the cross and say, oh, okay, this is what you need to do. This is the focus of keeping the gospel pure. Check your heart. Check your motives. Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. You want the gospel message in its purest form? You want the gospel message in all of its purity? I want you to stand up, sit down, close your eyes, raise your hands, do whatever, and listen to the words I'm about to speak into you. Gospel message in its purest form is you standing before God, knowing you are righteous, knowing you are sinless, knowing you are acceptable, knowing you are made whole, you are adopted, you are redeemed, you are full of value, you are full of worth, you have been made perfect, you are made whole. That's the gospel message in all of its purity. And all we want to do, and all I would desire for you to do, all Paul desired for us to do, was rightly relate to those truths, rightly relate to those identities, and soak in them. Get into a place that no matter what happens to you, no matter which church or which brother or any person comes to you and says, you stupid idiot, I want you to be so well soaked in Christ that you can automatically look at them and say, they're judging my actions, not who I am. And then you can say, okay, yeah, you know what? I was a stupid idiot. Help me repent. Instead of getting back into a corner and then we as a church started fighting one another over traditions, over simple little things. And we've adulterated the gospel. We've gone into Romans 7 and we said, Jesus, I know I'm married to you, but I just need to go do this one little thing. You just committed spiritual adultery on Jesus. That's that serious. That's what Paul is talking about. Purity of the gospel is being able to soak and knowing you are righteous, you are sinless, you are acceptable, you are made whole, you are adopted, you are redeemed, you are full of value, you are of worth, you have been made perfect, you are made whole by Jesus Christ crucified. That's it. Soak in that. Let that freedom and your true identity fill your veins, fill your life. May you be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. May you live in the perfect will of God in those actions. But I ask, you soak. Let that ooze out of you. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. This is keeping the gospel message pure, not adding to it. Then, when you've soaked, and when you've soaked, and you've soaked, then take a step by faith. Go walk out into this world. Go walk out into coronavirus and know, whether I get it or whether I don't, I am going to live Christ crucified. And I'm going to be passionate about what he has done for me. And then as we walk, we're not walking away from God because we know he's right here in us. We are walking with God. Please pray with me. Father, I thank you so much for everything you've done. I thank you for me reading out of Romans. Man, that was weird. And all of the nuances of perfectionism and being humble and even getting served humble pie while I'm being recorded. I thank you for all of that. It's not about being perfect. It's not about creating our own laws. It's not about us taking the message of the cross, the forgiveness of sins, and adding anything to it. It's enough. I ask you, Paul says in Galatians 3, did you not receive it freely? Why do you think you now have to go and add to it? And I pray that prayer on the church. I pray that when we come back and we come united, that we don't have to throw traditions to the wind. I'm not saying that. But we can come united under the umbrella of Christ crucified in the gospel message in all of its purity. And then we get to live in freedom with one another. We get to live in the respect of knowing that nobody is holier than the other person because Christ has made us all whole. He's made us all perfect. And I pray that we can rightly relate to that identity, rightly relate to that truth, and have that living in and through us. You truly are an amazing God, and we thank you. Keep us, strengthen us, watch over us. Father, may you work in and through us the way that you see fit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, that was a lot of fun. I hope you think so. It was fun for me. And I'm going to close with my favorite benediction out of the book of Hebrews. And the reason why it's my favorite benediction is because it talks about covenant. And that's one of those things. If you want to talk about something and you want to see my face transformed, you start diving into me about covenant. And covenant is a very important thing. And actually understanding covenant and getting into the depths of what happened in the covenant that took place really, for me, helps me understand in this analytical system or this I'll say works-based performance system, because that's my gears, that's how I roll. Covenant helps me understand the freedom from that. And perhaps that's why I'm so passionate about covenant, and I'm so passionate about the purity of the gospel, and really kicking to the curb all of those things that I've added to Christ crucified throughout my life. And seeing that it's literally just, it's nothing. It's like the list of accolades that Paul gives. I believe it's in Philippians, where he gives this long list and he says, I count it as done. It's nothing. It's nothing. Christ crucified. And that's what I see in covenant. So my entire family wishes the blessings upon you. My wife Susie wishes her blessings upon you guys. My blessings are upon you guys. And I pray that we can all just have a good chuckle. Have a good laugh. And just be encouraged. My son came out and he watched the movie the other day and he shared a joke with me. And it was a good, clean joke. And he said, hey, Dad, which baseball player on the field makes the best pancakes? It's the batter. Now, it's the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Be the church, people. Be the church.